This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Great to be here with you this morning, Bridgeway. I'm Pastor Ron. I want to welcome those of you who are here, as well as those of you who are joining us at Church Online, Church at Home. It is a great day to be together, and I'm excited to jump into a brand new series on our vision. And we're going to be talking about this vision that God's given our church for the next several weeks. And I'm going to use the term we because I'm going to be joined here on stage each week by one of our elders. And you're going to get to know our elder team, and they're going to get to share with you some of the things that God has just been inspiring us and really giving us as the way in which we want to really frame this next decade, this next 10 years as a community of faith. I got to just say, though, last week, Easter, I mean, holy cow, what an amazing weekend. And if you were here today because of being a part of last week's services, we couldn't be more grateful to have you come back and be a part of our community this week. But just, I thought I would share with you that just rough, maybe even conservative numbers based on the services we had on Good Friday and Easter morning and all the pancakes and Easter egg hunt on Saturday, very conservative estimate, we had probably about 1,500 people come through our church. And so just a blessing to be a community church and to make a difference in our community. And so I just ask you, just as a praise to God, could you put your hands together and just thank God for just an awesome, awesome weekend. So, so good. But we're going to be talking about the church. And one of the unique things about the church is it's probably very different from where maybe you call your place of work every day. In fact, I come from a background of business and corporate America. I worked for two Fortune 500 companies before being a pastor. And I came to the church and I realized the church operates very differently. We're not a business. We're more like a body. We're not an organization. We act and move more like an organism. Instead of an organization where you're top down, in the church, we're very bottom up. In fact, the greatest is the least, and everyone is invited to put a towel over their arm and to serve outward into the community and into the people that so desperately need to know about Jesus. You're going to hear a lot over these next several weeks about the church and about what we believe is important for our church. But if there's one thing I would want you to kind of capture and hold on to is you could probably sum it all up in one really simple statement, that as a church, we really want to develop and move from being a crowd to being a core. In fact, moving from just the crowd to the core is something that Jesus did so skillfully. If you read through the Gospels and you look at the life of Jesus, he had this incredible knack to somehow change and transform this huge crowd. I mean, crowds followed him up to a mountaintop where he taught them the Sermon on the Mount, right? And yet he had this close group of disciples. Crowds followed him into the wilderness, right? And they were hungry, and so he fed the crowds, fed the 5,000 with a couple of fish and a few loaves. And I mean, even the crowds followed Jesus just before Easter into Palm Sunday, into Jerusalem. And yet, Jesus' intention was always to take this crowd and to turn it into a core of people that were devoted to extending and bringing his message of love and grace into and throughout the entire world. We believe that here at Bridgeway, we've got a mission and a vision that incorporates five key initiatives. And you're going to hear us talking about these initiatives. We absolutely believe that these are the ways in which God has called our church to move in this direction. And as I said, I'm going to be joined by an elder each week. And so at this time, I'm going to invite Diane to come up and to join me. Diane Luxoy, she is one of our elders. And if you could put your hands together and welcome Diane to the stage.
Okay, good morning. So I'm going to remind you what the vision is. If you were here maybe about a year ago, you would have seen me up here helping to introduce the vision. And so, as I said then, about 20 years ago, 22 years ago now, Bridgeway was born. And so it's a really good time when we look back about 20 years to look forward for the next 10 years. And, you know, what does God have planned for us? And so that's where the vision was born. It was really to answer the question, how might we envision life at Bridgeway in 2030? So what is it going to look like? And that's what we wanted to start that process so that we can actually get there. So we started with the Bridgeway vision and the purpose, which will not change. We're not changing anything. We're building on what's already out there. So as a reminder, the The purpose of Bridgeway is to transform spiritually hungry people into fully devoted followers of Christ. So that is a very powerful statement as to why Bridgeway exists. That was when Bridgeway was kind of born, that was the purpose statement, and it still stands, and it's still, I think, awesome. So to remind you, or to tell you if you weren't here, what the vision is, building bridges of hope between real life and faith. So I read something, I can't remember where I read it recently in the last few days that, I think it was a devotional this morning, that God doesn't want us just to, you know, pray when something's wrong or go to church on Sunday. He wants us to live. He wants us to live with him every day and every moment. So that's really building that bridge of hope between real life and faith. And as Pastor Ron said, there's five different areas. So the first one, discipleship. We will build people into lifelong learners and leaders who love Jesus and his word. The second one, family. We will promote family values by equipping all family members to care for each other. And then life together, we will cultivate an active, God-centered community that experiences life together. Soul care, we will provide skill-based counseling to help people heal and experience freedom. And then finally, serving, and that's about our local communities. We will engage in serving the needs of our local communities. So the reason I'm up here again, reintroducing this to everyone, is we're launching a survey today. And I want to encourage every adult to take that survey, not just one per household, but we're really looking for everyone to take the survey. We're trying to determine, this is a big vision, right? And we've got 10 years to get there, but we have to start somewhere. So where do we start? We would love to hear from you and use, you know, your feedback on where to start. So, and this would include anyone, all the people here today, everyone online, everyone who attends today, and everyone who has attended in the past. So would like everyone to take it. So there's a number of ways to take the survey, and it is up this morning. You can scan the QR code in front of you if you're here at church. You can go to the app. You can go to the website. There'll be an email out later today, and then you'll see it on social media. So we just want to, it only takes 5 minutes. That was my last note here. Only takes 5 minutes. So I just want to thank you in advance for helping us out with this. So thank you.
Great job, Diane. Can you put your hands together again and thank Diane? Awesome, awesome stuff. We have a great elder team, and we've put a lot of time into what we believe God has inspired this vision today to be. And as I said, today is going to be a little different. These next several weeks are going to be a little different in the way in which we want to really kind of give you an opportunity to be a part of shaping this future with us. So do please take that survey. In the time I have left today, I want to just really look at just one of these areas, one of these categories, and that's the area of soul care. And I want to just kind of give you some information about this particular area because, in my opinion, everything begins to flow from this idea of how we care for souls, for people. And so I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 16 this morning. If you got a Bible, I'd love for you to turn there, read these words for yourself. If you're the kind of person that you don't really like long stretches of scripture when the pastor reads a long portion of the Bible, today is going to be your great day. It's a short verse and a short verse to get our hands around today. But I want to read this with you and begin to have you understand this idea of soul care. You hear the word soul and soul care, and you probably have heard of the term self-care. A lot of talk today about self-care, not a lot of talk about soul care. In fact, self-care is really popular. People will talk about self-care and say things like, well, you know, I could really use, you know, like a day off. I could really use a mental health day. I could really use, you know, like a day at the spa, right? I could just use a kind of a day, a me day, right? I was actually doing some blood work this week, and the lady that was about to take my blood, I'll just say it, she was just out of it. I mean, just clear, it was a Monday, it was all day, it was Monday morning for her, and she just looked at me before she drew my blood, and she goes, I just need a day off. And I'm thinking to myself, this is really good information to share with me before you poke me, lady. You know, it's like, thanks a lot, you know. And she needed a mental health day. But there's a lot of talk around self-care, not a lot of talk about soul care. And soul care is vital and important. In fact, let me just get you thinking about this. If I were to ask you a question, how would you answer this? What's a soul? what's a human soul? You know, people for hundreds of years have been trying to figure out exactly how to define and measure this part of us. In fact, there's a really weird study about 100 years ago done by a doctor who was working with tuberculosis patients. And he had this strange theory, and so he would weigh a patient just before they passed away, and then right after they passed, he would weigh them again. I know, weird, strange science, but he found consistently every person would lose exactly 21 grams at the point of death. And this doctor went on to kind of hypothesize that the weight of a human soul is 21 grams, kind of like a cartoon character that sort of, you know, gets whacked and their spirit floats up. He would say that was the 21 grams of an individual. No one ever proved that to be, but there's been a lot of talk around the soul, right? I mean, you have Aretha Franklin. She's the queen of soul. You can go to a particular car dealership and you could buy a Kia Soul, right? My son is in the Coast Guard and he's on boats and they are watching for SOS, distress signals, save our soul. When I was a little kid, the prayer I would say every night at bedtime, my mom would pray with me. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Kind of a chilling prayer to say as a six-year-old, you know, and the light goes off and you're told to go to bed. Kind of a little, you know, disorienting, but we have a lot of talk around soul, and yet if I were to ask you, how do you define this? What is a human soul? Or maybe this morning, what's the condition of your soul? How would you answer? Some of you are like, wow, Pastor, this sounds like, you know, this sounds like a topic reserved for you pastor people, right? I mean, this sounds like robe wearing and, you know, navel gazing and herbal tea drinking. This doesn't sound anything like I should have to be worried about, and I really want to convince you otherwise this morning, because the Bible has a lot to say about our soul. In fact, about 90 times in the scriptures, the soul is mentioned, and that's why I wanted you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, because Jesus says some very important words about our soul. In my opinion, our soul is not only our earliest companion, but it should be our ultimate of concerns. Matthew 16, this would be a great verse, verse 26, to underline in your Bibles, to highlight on your Bible app, or maybe even just to commit to memory. These are the red letters. Jesus says these words. He says, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Just one verse. And these words are kind of classic Jesus, right? I mean, this is sort of like the classic teaching of Jesus. He kind of poses this question, and it's sort of a give and take, right? It's sort of what would I get in exchange for? What good would it be if I could have everything at the cost of my soul? What would I be willing to forfeit in exchange for this intimate part of me? Kind of sounds like, I don't know, kind of sounds like the song, the lyrics, you know, the devil went down to Georgia, right? It's got kind of that, like, what would you be willing to give up if you could gain everything? I don't know, what would it be for you? Just maybe think for a moment. What would you love to have? I mean, what would be the thing, right? Like the one thing, oh, I got this dream home, right? Like, oh, if I could have that, I can get a picture in my head of kind of like my dream home. I can close my eyes. I can kind of picture this home. I know where it is because it's in Malibu. In fact, I've been told that Beyonce lives next door, right? And it looks out over this area called Point Doom, and you can see out in the ocean, you can see these dolphins just jumping. And right underneath them are sharks. You know, I know it, right? What would it be for you? What would be that dream thing? Maybe it's some goal. Maybe it's something really noble. Maybe if you could have, like, the genie in the bottle, like the one wish, you'd be like, you know what I think our world needs? Our world needs peace, or our world needs the cure for cancer. And you had this opportunity. You could have this one thing, whatever it is. Jesus would say, what good would it be? You could have it all, but at the exchange of your soul, it would be a very bad day. And I was so excited last week with Easter and talking about just this resurrected Jesus. And I hope Easter for you isn't just a holiday. It's not just a day. It's actually every day we have the incredible potential to live as resurrected. We are Easter people every single day. And the reality is, if you're a follower of Jesus, then this life, with all the pain and the struggle and the troubles that maybe you find every day, this life is, think about it, this is the furthest your soul will ever be from its creator, from its maker, from God in heaven. Your soul, if you're saved, will have an eternity with God. And the opposite is true as well, that if you're not a believer, and no matter how good your life is or no matter how hard your days are, if your soul is not saved, then this life is the closest your soul will ever be to its creator and maker and eternity that it could spend in heaven. Jesus would say that this is the most important part of you. I would say it very simply. Your soul is the most important part of who you are, and God wants you to take care of this part of you. And so I want to ask you this morning just to maybe do a little check-in, right? Just kind of check the gauges on your own life and your own soul, maybe a little bit of a diagnostic this morning on your life. How's your soul doing? How's the condition of your soul? You probably don't use that kind of language. You don't probably go around thinking, you know, how soul, how are you? You know, you probably don't say it like that. But maybe you say other things that kind of would indicate that your soul is just not in a great spot. Maybe your soul is what I would call in a little bit of neglect. You would say, you know, I'm a little stressed out. I'm a little frustrated. I'm redlining. I'm a little irritable. I'm a little angry. I would say that those sort of words, that kind of language, would kind of be an indication that your soul is in neglect. In fact, I came up with just maybe a small list of reasons, of things to kind of be watching out for. This would maybe be signs, warning signs, that your soul is just in neglect, needs some soul care, more than self-care. Maybe just starter, just passion. Just kind of check your temperature on your passion this morning. And I'll let you just define whatever it is you're passionate about. If you're passionate about a hobby, if you're passionate about, you know, deer hunting, it's already deer hunting season, right? You're already thinking about it and your passion is high. Or maybe you have no passion. There's just nothing that really excites you. If your passion is faded in areas of life, I would say that's a warning sign of neglect of your soul. Maybe you just don't feel the highs and the lows of life. This is a tricky one because actually this is part of just how we're wired. It's actually normal to experience and to feel at times really good, like really joyful and happy and whatever you want to call it. And it's good. It's actually okay for you to feel at times kind of low and sad and bothered and things kind of make you, you know, kind of emotional. That's a good thing. Actually having a normal pattern of feeling kind of this full range of emotions, this would be a good thing. It's when you're stuck, you know, at the top, you know, you're just manic or you're really low, you're depressive, that we would get concerned and be really concerned about the state of your, but just how you doing? Just how do you feel? Just highs and lows in life. Maybe little things upset you. Two words, road rage, right? Like every driver annoys you, you know, you just, everything, every person, maybe it's everybody doesn't just annoy you, everybody drains you. Oh, it's Monday, 5 days a week. You know, just everybody, they want a piece of you, and they're taking and taking and taking, and you have no capacity for more, and it would be a sign that you're, actually, the problem isn't them, the problem is you. It's a neglected soul. Maybe you're just cynical. You're cynical about the news and, oh, the Democrats and, oh, the Republicans. Maybe you've turned, and you're not just cynical. You're trying to kind of numb out, and you're self-medicating, and so one drink is now four drinks just to get through the evening, and you're either over drinking or you're overworking or you're overspending, and again, it's a sign of just a soul in neglect. Maybe it's this last one. You just can't remember the last time you laughed, right? I mean, you don't recall the last time you just had one of those, you know what I'm talking about, like those belly laughs where it's uncontrollable and your eyes are watering and you're just laughing so hard. Maybe it's not like that high end of laughter, but it's just something that just makes you just kind of just laugh, even if on the inside. I don't know, I got a pastor friend of mine, and last weekend over Easter, you know, just to kind of keep each other on task, we were sending back and forth to each other over text Jerry Seinfeld jokes, right? Just Jerry Seinfeld, just kind of keeping us both in light humor and laughter, and just whatever it takes. In fact, I was, you know how those pictures pop up on your phone? This picture popped up on my phone this week, and I had to laugh. This is my my fourth child, so he's 18 now, and we actually thought this was really good parenting back then. Like, no need for, like, wipes and sanitizer, and, you know, it's like, just put him in front of the dog. He'll be fine, and big slurpy kiss. You know, only a lab would do that, right? Like, only a lab. A cat wouldn't do that, right? I mean, a cat would claw your face off if you said a child. And you just laugh, and you just find there's life, and there's meant to be this levity and this joy to it. And you're just kind of taking a little diagnostic, a little temperature check. How's your soul doing this morning? Maybe identify which on that list is sort of your area, your need, your specific way in which God is saying, you know what, you're kind of off in this area. And it's a sign that you need to pay attention and not neglect your soul. Big word, we would call this, in the spiritual world, we would call this mindfulness. Just being mindful of the state of your soul, how it's doing, and not being afraid to kind of check in and maybe even just have some language around it. In fact, I love the scriptures. No matter what emotion, what feeling you have, the scriptures kind of have an answer to it. In fact, I love Psalm 42, verse 5. Here's another one. It'd be great to memorize. Think of the psalmist here. Think of what he says, how human this is. He says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" Now, let me just stop there. Don't read the rest of it. What if we put this in today's language? I mean, could you imagine somebody saying, "Why, my soul, are you depressed?" Right? I mean, that'd be the way we'd say it. And then, "Why so disturbed within me?" Could you hear someone else maybe say today, "Why am I so anxious about everything? Why, my soul, am I downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" Kind of hear the soul not being in a good place? Then here's the answer. Put your hope in God. "For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." See, here's what's so beautiful about our spiritual lives is no matter how you feel, depressed, angry, anxious, happy, whatever state you're in, regardless of your emotions, you're called to put your hope in God. He will never fail you. He will never leave you. He will be right there with you. And this is just being honest about where you're at. Regardless of how you feel, you can turn to God. Now, let me just explain one additional thing, because I think we can start throwing around these terms, and they can sound a lot like we're just kind of mixing words. So I want to be really clear that the human body, the human person, I should say, is made up of three distinct components. You may not know this about yourself, but you are a will, a mind, and a body. You are a will. You are a will. You have within you the capacity to choose. Let me put that differently. If you've raised kids, you ever had a strong-willed child? I had five of them, right? Like at one time, any one of them would have been strong-willed, right? So we have that. We have that will, that volition within us to choose. In fact, that's actually part of how we're wired spiritually. We believe that God is a gentleman. God does not force himself on anybody. He actually gives you a freedom, a free will. You're within your freedom to choose God, to love God, to follow God. Or you're also allowed within that freedom to choose to reject God and to leave him to the side and not do life with him in community such as we're talking about as the church. But you have a will. You also have a mind. This is the thinking part of you, and this is really where the emotions start to take place. We always touch our heart when we talk about emotions, but it's actually a part of our brain chemistry. And emotions get started there, and so do our thoughts, and so do the ways in which we've been called. Way back to Genesis chapter 1, we've been called to have this mandate to be culture makers, to care for the culture around us, to be fruitful and multiply, and to rule over all of dominion. So to rule, to have a place of making culture in your home and in your neighborhood and in your workplace, be a culture maker. That all starts with the God-given mind that you have, that every person has. You're a will, you're a mind, and then you're a body. And your body is the part that you think of the most when you think of you. You think of how you look, you think of how you're doing, you think of maybe just, you know, where you're at physically and where you're not at physically. And your body is that part of you that is maybe the most, I don't know, noticeable, recognizable, and yet it's just a part of you. In fact, it's probably the part that also gets us in trouble, because our body is what we're to to act with, right? It's to do and not misuse. And then there's this soul, and I don't want you to think of your soul as this fourth part, this mysterious part of your being. Your soul is actually, it's sort of the operating system. It's what's keeping this all together. It's, again, big word, integrating your will and your mind and your body. And that's why your soul is so important, so important. Some of you are like, Pastor, I don't really care. It's kind of like when the pilot comes on. You get on a flight, and the pilot comes on, right? And they tell you, you know, I'm going to take it up to 40,000 feet. We're going to go at certain speed and certain flight angle. And you're like, yeah, whatever. Just get me to where it says on my ticket, right? Like, that's all I want. And you can feel that way, but I truly believe that if you don't understand this part of how God has made you, you will always be frustrated in your spiritual journey. I think a real sign of spiritual maturity is a person who actually can understand and begin to care for their own soul, and then hopefully begin to care for and help the people around them. If you cannot care for your own soul, I think that you will be, honestly, you'll be very disoriented. In fact, I want to show you just one last verse. This is in Romans 7. In fact, let me just tell you, this is written by a guy that we esteem. This guy by the name of Paul. And we've looked at Paul, we've looked at his missionary journeys. He's written over about a third of the New Testament. You kind of think Paul and you think, oh, he's the man. I mean, he could never have a bad day. Look at Paul on a bad day. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Do you kind of see like the almost like a schizophrenia inside of him? This is that disintegration. This is a guy for maybe a moment or maybe a season or maybe a period of time where he is just not in integrity. His soul is not aligned. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do them. I procrastinate. I put them off. I do exactly the opposite. And then the things I know I shouldn't do, I dive right into those things. Sound familiar? This is a soul that's just for a moment, for a season, just not in line with God's will. And this is where we all begin to take just an inventory of where we're doing. This is where it all starts. I loved how Diane laid out that vision and our purpose statement, and I'm so grateful. We have a great purpose here at Bridgeway. We've had the same purpose for 22 years, but we really want to live these areas out more intentionally, live out these areas of discipleship and family and serving and life together and the care of our souls. And really just today wanted to just introduce you to this topic of soul care. You might be wondering this morning, Pastor, I don't know where to begin. I would say, well, begin with this. Begin to pay attention to the condition of your soul, just even now. And you can do this any day of the week. Just kind of give a little diagnostic, a little check-in. Second thing I wanted to say is I wanted you, and we as an elder team wanted you to know that this is a priority for our church. And so we're going to be talking about this, soul care. We're going to be planning towards this. We don't know exactly what this is going to look like. It's still very much wet cement. And we're praying and we're inviting others to give us feedback and to help us along in this journey. I do hope that includes in the area of soul care kind of a roadmap, something that you could, again, formally walk yourself through, kind of a way to kind of walk through it. And then ultimately a way for us to meet with you one-on-one. I think that soul care is intended to be done as a community, and so we can walk together with you in the ways in which God wants to grow you and just build you up in him. And then finally, just to be able to train others. As we put on the screen there, we really want to provide skill-based counseling. And we do some counseling here in the church now, but we really want to take that to a whole new level of being able to counsel the soul, the entire person, in the way in which God needs them to grow. I want to wrap this message up and invite the worship team to come up and just give you an opportunity to really put your faith into motion this morning. I want to leave you with just really one question, and it's this. What's one thing you can do for your soul today? Don't leave here today without making some objective in your own spiritual life to care for your soul. Maybe it begins with just, you know, doing this diagnostic and saying, you know what, I'm noticing some things. There are some things on that list that I've neglected, and you just, in all honesty, in this time of singing, you just make this your prayer to God. Maybe your soul has been just a little too hurried or too worried. Or maybe your soul has just felt a little dirtied. And today you come to God and you just bring that all to him. Bring him everything you've got. God loves to work in the human soul. God loves to do that. God loves to be the keeper of your soul. I want to invite you just simply to bow your head and to pray with me. God, we pause in this moment and we just thank you for just the incredible design that you've put into each one of our lives. You've crafted and created us. You know us at the inmost, at the deepest level of our being. And that, God, you know and you care for our soul. You would want no one here, no one within the sound of my voice, to forfeit or to give up or to exchange this most important and deepest part of them. And so, God, I just pray this morning that you would move among us, that you would move in the ways that only you can to bring about care for our souls, for every single person here today, Lord, that you would move and that we would begin to act and to use all of our lives to worship and to give you the glory that you deserve. We love you and we praise you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.